The fourth one, Cisco versus Arista, another very big case that got a lot of headlines in the last couple of years. This was a case, again, in the end, this was dismissed and settled. Interesting case we'll talk about more as well. But what's the interface there? Well, the interface there, Cisco, you all probably have heard of. Cisco makes networking equipment, routers, switches, sophisticated networking equipment that is, again, the dominant player in that field. Arista is a competitor, actually, interestingly, founded by former Cisco executives who left the company to create their own company, who said, hey, we can make better routers and switches and networking equipment than Cisco. However, we have the same problem that Borland had back in the late 1980s. Everybody, all the networking engineers out there are used to Cisco products. They are used to the commands that Cisco products expect to see. They have already, their employers and enterprises have already invested heavily in macros and programming for Cisco devices that use a particular set of command line commands. The case is about those command line commands. Here's just a snippet of some. The case actually involves over 500 individual commands that Arista is alleged to have infringed. This is just one example to give you a sense. There is a set of commands that begin with the word show, and you see a sort of a nested list of options the show command can invoke here. And again, as a user, this is the method for operating Cisco routers and switches. There is no other way. I mean, I suppose there's the plug in the back you can pull out. But short of that, the actual operation of the equipment depends on the use of these commands. The words, the commands, are the method of operating Cisco routers, switches, etc. So those are the four examples that I want to keep in mind as we go through the legal treatment of the interface question. In all of those examples, you have, I think, a common thread, a common story. You have a large, dominant player who has large market share. You have a new market entrant, and you have users who are basically caught in the middle. Users who have developed a fluency with a particular set of commands or a particular menu structure, whatever it might be, and who've also independently invested their own work and creativity in creating macros or programs they've already written, or in the case of SaaS, their own SaaS programs in order to input and receive output from their own data. All of these are situations that, in my mind, really boil down to a question of competition, right? You have a question, it's an argument about switching costs. How expensive should it be for customers to be able to try something new if they've already made a big investment in learning a particular interface for a product? So what does copyright have to say about this? I think copyright law breaks down into sort of three camps here. And I'll give away the ending by saying we don't actually know which camp is right yet. This is still a hot area of contention in copyright. Three points of view. There's the copyright never camp, which I'll happily acknowledge that's the camp I am very much in. It says there should never be copyright in interfaces, period, full stop. There is the copyright sometimes camp, probably the most prominent proponent of this position in the Google litigation, ironically, has been Microsoft, which has filed an amicus brief making this argument, and also the U.S. government in their prior cert petition also essentially takes this position that, sure, interfaces are copyrightable, should be within the scope of copyright protection, but the affirmative defenses will take care of any difficulties. So fair use, sine fair, merger, we'll talk about those three. The notion is those will take care of any competition concerns that might arise. And then the final camp, I'll say, is the copyright always camp, which Oracle has certainly has been in their briefs in the case, which says Look, interfaces are creative works. They are protected by copyright. They should be protected by copyright. That's how we encourage investment. That's how all the good things copyright are about apply equally to interfaces, and we should therefore grant property-like protection without exceptions, or at least extremely rare exceptions, if at all. So, how have these positions fared in court? Well, let me start with copyright never, sort of the camp that I'm in. Those in the copyright never camp basically say, look, the Copyright Act has a specific provision on this question, and it's in Section 102B of the Copyright Act, Title 17, the U.S. Code, and it says, in no case does copyright protection for an original work of authorship extend to any method of operation, regardless of the form in which it is described, explained, illustrated, or embodied in such work. Now, to me, that seems straightforward. If you have a method of operation, it is not copyrightable, full stop. And in fact, that is exactly what the First Circuit thought in Lotus v. Borland. I showed you the menu command structure that was at issue in that case. That menu command structure involved, there were over 400, I think there were 469 individual commands arranged in 50 different menus in Lotus 1, 2, 3.